Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 84. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 5. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Let's read verse 5 together. Ready? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. And I'll read to you one other passage, Psalm 122, verses 1 and 2. You need not turn there. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here. Thank you that we have a church where I believe you enjoy being. Glad when we pulled on the property this morning, your presence was here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. If we are to hear from heaven today, we must hear from it through our preacher. May our hearts and our wills be yielded to you as he preaches to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that's very dear to my heart. I very simply entitled the sermon, I Love Church. Earlier, as we read the scripture, we heard from Psalm chapter 84. We also read a passage from Psalm 122. I asked Brother Nash if he would teach us the song from Psalm 122. We read it and sang it together earlier. I want you to open your Bible again to Psalm 122. Psalm number 122. I'm going to have Brother Nash come back. And I want you to sing this song again about standing in thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now, you say, well, what's it talking about? Well, the Jews would have the privilege of going back to Jerusalem and spending some time at the house of God. And when they would go back, they would sing, and they were excited about going back and spending time at the house of God. And that's what they're excited about. They would sing this psalm as they would journey back to the house of God. I want you to sing it. I want you to learn it. Brother Nash, you come and sing through the song with us again, please.
Okay. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 6, verse 2, verse 9, verse 2. You ready? Here we go. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates.
Verse 6.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper past the sea. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper past the sea.
Verse 2.
Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates.
Verse 9.
Because of the house of the Lord our God,
I will see thy good because of the house of the Lord our God. I will see thy good.
Verse 2,
our feet shall stand with thy king. Oh, the roots of them, our feet shall stand within thy gate. Our feet shall stand within thy gate. Oh, the roots of them, our feet shall stand within thy gate.
That psalm, as well as the 84th psalm, were both used the same way. The Jews would sing the 84th psalm as they marched to the house of God. They were excited about being back in church. They were excited about that privilege, looking forward to arriving at the place where God doled out His blessings. I want you to picture the Jews. They would travel as they would leave home thinking about arriving at church. Now, let me explain something. It is not the magnificence of a building that makes church special. It is the magnificence of God's Spirit moving and God doing a work that makes church special. Some people think, well, if you got a big fancy building, that's what makes it exciting to go to church. Oh, not at all. Not at all. It is if you've got a big fancy God, if you've got a big fancy movement of the power of God in that church that makes it special. I didn't get saved until I was 16 years old. I'd been to two so-called church services up until that time. When I got saved, I was excited about it, and I got me a good old dose of salvation. I got saved, and I was excited about being saved, and I went to the public school that I attended, and while there, I began to tell others about the Lord. I began to tell others about me being saved, and I went, I have to tell you, the church that I attended was a church in a two-car garage. Independent Fundamental Baptist man had come to that town. He had started a church. He used a two-car garage. He took the cars out of it during church services and threw some chairs in there, and we had a church service. And it was exciting, and it was fun. Well, I had gone to school. I had been saved, and I was excited about being saved. I went to school, and a buddy of mine said, "Hey, let me show you my church." And so he took me to see his church. We got in his car and we went to this church. It was a great big fancy building and had, oh, you could just tell pulling onto the property. They must have had money, and there were little statues all over the place. And when we went in, They had the old plush carpeting. But when we went in the back of the auditorium, now it wasn't during a church service, but we went in the back of the auditorium, it was dark in there. I mean, it was kind of eerie. And when we went in there, it didn't look like it. Dead sure didn't look like our two-car garage, I'll guarantee you. I went in there and I looked around, and I'll be honest with you, it was morbid. It was dark. It was strange in there. It reminded me of late night television shows. You know, there used to be a show on called Shock Theater, and that was spooky show night. And I walked in there and I thought, this is weird. And I thought maybe it was going to end up being a haunted house or something. Then all of it, and this guy says, "Hey, this is where I go to church." And it was cold, and it was dead, and I mean, it just didn't seem to have any excitement about it. And all of a sudden, this guy came out of the room. They called him Father. He dressed like a mother, and he walked like a sister. And I thought, okay, and I met this guy, and he called God good. Now, you don't know my God if you don't know His name.
Yeah.
He's not good. He began to talk. You know, I'm listening to all this, and this guy, we talked for a second, and then I said, "Well, what happens around here?" I said to my friend, and he said, "Well, I sat right back here," and it was all the way in the back of that auditorium. I said, "What happens?" He said, "Oh, I don't know." He said, "We just come," and he said, "And then we leave." I said, "How often do you come?" He said, "Well, we come every once in a while." And I said, "Let me show you my church." We got in a car, headed out the country road, Highway 27. When we got out there, I didn't really know what to say. It was a two-car garage. We had thrown a bunch of gravel out in the yard so people could park their cars. We couldn't even afford little, you know, the little fine gravel. We still had those great big boulders. It's cheaper. And I remember deacons meeting after deacons meeting. Women raising their hand, business meeting after business meeting. Ladies would raise their hand and say, you got to do something about the parking lot. It's tearing up the heels of our shoes. And they were walking out there. It was like walking on stilts and all that gravel. And I told him, I said, turn your turn signal on. Right there's my church. Had a hand-painted sign out front, said the Maranatha Baptist Church. We pulled in, and you needed good shock absorbers as you pulled in on that, the big boulders that were considered a parking lot. I went to the door, and I said, right there's our church. It's a two-car garage. I said, right there's our church. And I popped the door open, and there were oil stains on the floor and a bunch of old steel chairs leaning up against the wall and a great big old high back. You know those old pianos, those old uprights? I mean, those things weigh about 2 tons, take 4 men or one burly woman to move one of those. We had one of those shoved up against the wall, and the pastor, he didn't have a fancy pulpit, and we walked in there, and I said, this is my church. And I'll tell you something, Brother Ewan, I was proud that I was a part of that church. You know something? His fancy building did not impress me at all. I met his so-called pastor. I'd heard about what happened around there. And though he had a fancy parking lot and a fancy building, a lot of other fancy things, I didn't notice God involved in anything. So I'm showing my buddy around my church. I introduced him to my pastor, who walked like a man, who talked like a man, that shook a hand like a man. And my buddy said, so what happens around here? I said, you're not going to believe it. Every Sunday morning, people start pulling into this parking lot, and they're walking around shaking hands and greeting God's people. I said, and then the piano gets to playing, and the lady sitting on the bench plays the bench as much as she plays the keys. She gets to playing that thing, and the people are smiling, and people are having a good time, and then we get to having the service in the morning, and that preacher, oh, you're not going to believe it. He gets up there, and he preaches, and the people shout amen. I said, and then we get to this thing they call the invitation time. People start leaving their seats and they come down to the front, they get on their knees. People start getting saved, and then we get people baptized. I said, and nobody wants to go home when we're finished. He said, wow. Wow, sounds like something's happening here. I said, yeah, something's happening here. I'll tell you what, I just love church. Ever since I got saved at 16 years of age, I've loved church. Hey, I love church, and I love the things that make church what it is. I also despise those things that would destroy a church and destroy what a church could be. As we read the passage of Scripture this morning from Psalm 84, we find out that the Jews were talking about, and that this Scripture was written in regard to the Jews' desire and the fun that they had, if you will, about the thing of the house of the Lord. For instance, let me show you some things. The house of God was a friendly place. It says in Psalm 84:1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The psalmist is saying here how happy, how delightful, and how friendly the house of God is. I'll tell you, I wouldn't give you a nickel for them churches when you walk in and you feel like you're a stranger, and everybody makes sure you know you're a visitor, and you know you're a stranger, and everybody stares at you like a calf looking at a new gate. That's a bunch of silliness. You come to the house of God, God's people ought to be happy. How amiable are thy tabernacles? It's a wonderful thing when you go to a friendly church where there's joy and happiness and good positive attitudes. You know, laughter should not be out of church in the house, or out of place in the house of the Lord. Not at all. Not at all. Hey, if you're here today and you're a visitor and say, you all laugh a lot around here, let me tell you something. We cry our fair share. We have our fair share of burdens, but we need a place every once in a while where we can go and set aside the burdens of life and be with God's people and enjoy the things of God and laugh and relax and know that He's our God and heaven's our eventual home. Hey, we need that. We need that. I have this thing right here. And Brother Brett, I'm going to ask you to put this mic on with my mic. I love this thing. Somebody gave it to me, and I've kept it ever since. I call it my giggler. This is my giggler. And I love to hear this giggler. Listen to this. Turn it up, Brett.
Listen, got to hear it again.
Have you ever heard Brother Nash laugh? This is what Brother Nash sounded like laughing when he was 18 months old. Turn it up, Brett. Does that sound like Brother Nash, huh? Hey, don't be afraid to smile. When people come to this church, and indeed, I'm not trying to correct anything. In a way, I'm praising God this morning. Because when people come on this property, like my friend, they say, "What's going on around here?" Hey, these are people, and they're Christians, and they're not sad about it. Well, you go to some churches, especially independent fundamental Baptist churches, where they have standards and convictions, and everybody's miserable. I'm not miserable with it. I love serving God. I love what's going on around here. I'm enjoying it. And as the Jews would think about the house of God, they would smile with delight, because his place, the place of God, was amiable. It wasn't a place of depression. It wasn't a place of negative. Hey, you be careful. Don't ruin church for somebody else. Don't ruin it for somebody else. Did you know that smiling is contagious? It is. You can catch it. You can catch smiling. If you don't believe it, look at the person beside you and smile real big. Just go do it. Look at him. Smile real big. Smile. Look at the person on the other side of you smile real big. And if that ain't working, look at Rusty Gillen and laugh hilariously. You know something? I was just watching two or three people that you can't pull a smile out of them without a whole lot of work. When I said smile at the person beside you, a couple went. If you're not careful, your face is going to stick like that. And you'll be a poster child for AIDS Anonymous. Hey, listen. The Bible teaches us very clearly that the house of God is to be a place of joy and laughter, and there's nothing wrong with it. Secondly, the house of God was a place for which they longed. They longed to be there. Psalm 84:2, it said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord." You know, the Jews, as they would be at home, they think about the house of God, and they would long to be there. They would long to be there. The Bible says their heart fainted, or it dropped, or it virtually became heavy by this overwhelming desire to be at the house of God. You know something? I enjoy conferences and going to preaching conferences and all that good stuff. I enjoy that. And a lot of people, you know, this is what they do. They'll go find some preaching conference so they can go there and get some encouragement, so they can go there and laugh, so they can go there and get a happy time. I've got news for you. Around here, it's like that all the time. I don't have to send these people at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church off to somebody else's conference to learn how to have a good time in the Lord. Not at all. I don't have to ship them. No, we've got it right here. Thank God, we've got it right here. How amiable are thy tabernacles. The house of God was a longed for place. The Jews, they didn't get to go there as often as what they wanted. But we have the privilege, folks, of being in church. Look, we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. 156 plus times a year. And for some of you, say, "I'll tell you what, for those, when I'm here, it lightens my load, encourages me." Well, the more you're here, the more you'll have your load lightened. And the more you're here, the more you're going to find yourself encouraged. Let me warn you, folks. Hey, when you get sick and you're down, and for some reason you can't come to church, don't milk that thing for everything it's worth. You'll ruin yourself. You'll ruin yourself. Hey, you get right back in church as fast as you can. Hey, you ever heard this? Ever heard that lame excuse? "Well, I don't go to church because when I was a child, my parents forced me to go to church. When I was a child, my parents forced me to go to church. So I don't go to church anymore." Well, let's check your logic out. "Well, I don't brush my teeth because when I was a child, my parents forced me to brush my teeth. I'm letting my teeth rot out. I want diarrhea of the gums. That'll teach them. They forced me to brush my teeth when I was a child. So ever since, I just don't brush my teeth. I don't go to the potty because when I was a child, my parents forced me to go in the potty. Now, I just go in my britches."
believe in school because when I was a child, my parents made me go to school. So I just tried to be a stupid idiot the rest of my life to prove to them you ain't going to make me learn. I never flush. Because when I was a child, my parents made me flush. When I was a child, I run around naked all the time now. Because when I was a child, my mom made me wear clothes. People are stupid. Well, I don't go to church because when I was a child, my parents made me go to church. Hey, listen, any parent that's teaching their children some character, teach them to do things that at the moment do not seem pleasant. But they're good, and they're right, and they're wholesome, and it ought to be done. Any parent that has worked their weight in parenting is going to require their child to do some things that they don't like to do. The house of God was a friendly place. The house of God was a place for which they longed. Thirdly, the Jews were jealous of the birds that lived at the house of God. Psalm 84:3, it says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a shallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Here the Jews, they're talking about how they seen the birds that got to live down at the house of God. And they said, "We envy those birds." As a Jew would leave the house of God, they would look back and they would see the sparrows that had built nests in the gables of the house of God and built nests in the porches of the house of God. And they realized that they had to leave as a human being, but the bird got to hang around the house of God and live there. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. They were admiring the bird that got to stay at the house of God all the time. Got to thinking about Sunday nights and our evening services around here. I try very hard to conclude an evening service by about 8:30. But you know something? It's a wonderful thing. Because 8:30, when we close things down, this church, though the service may be over, the people of God are still excited about the things of God. And at 8:40, there are still people here. And at 8:50, there are still people here. And at 9 o'clock, there are still people here, fellowshipping and talking. And I don't mean gossiping. I don't mean doing wrong. Talking about the things of God and their bus routes and winning people to Christ. And at 9:10, there are still people here. And at 9:20, there are still people here. And at 9:30, there are still people here. And at 9:40, there are still people here. And at 9:50, there are still people here. And at 10 o'clock, many a Sunday night, 1.5 hours after the church service is concluded, there are people still here. Loving the house of God, and they don't want to go home. The men on this platform will tell you we have to shoo people out of the building so we can lock it down for the night. We have to say, "Folks, I'm sorry." And let me tell you one of the techniques. When a bunch of people are in here an hour and a half after church is over with, we begin to flicker the lights. That means we're going home, bud. Then we get them in the hallway, and they'll stand out there for 15 minutes. Then we'll turn the lights off out there, and they go down here by the door. Then after that, they go out in the parking lot and stand. That's where we leave them, buddy. But the Jews were saying, "I enjoy being at church. It makes me feel close to God's people. It makes me feel close to God. And I enjoy being there. And I want to be there. And I want to be with God's people." They envied the fact that the sparrows got to rear their young at the house of God. The Bible says here, it talks about nesting and how they could take care of their young. As the Jews would leave, they would begin realizing they're taking their children away from the house of God. And that those kids, they wished for their children, that their children could be reared at the house of God like those baby birds coming up in a nest. Let me recommend to you that you get your children around the church and as often as you can. I look down, and even during our work day, our young people went out soul winning and on their bus routes yesterday, and a whole bunch of them then went down, and we were cleaning up a piece of our property down here by the bus garage, and I thought, how wholesome and how clean, as they were down there, and that they were serving God and having a good time. And I thank God that our kids get to be around the church. Build your children's lives around the church. Get your child in Martinsburg Christian Academy. Make sure you make a big deal out of Young Fundamentalists and our youth activities and our youth program. Make sure you make a big deal out of King's Kids. Make sure you make a big deal out of Sunday School. Be faithful to all three services here at the church. You ought to want your kids like the Jews wanted their children to be reared at the house of God. They looked at the birds and said, look, those birds are going to stay here. That's their nest. And look, the baby birds are right here at the house of God, and Mama's feeding them and nurturing them and growing them. And I believe the Jews were teaching us a lesson. We ought to want our little ones around the house of God. Hey, get your entertainment around the church, not from the world. The Jews watched the baby birds fed worms and watched those birds, and they were saying, look at how those babies are being fed. Look. Those of you, and we have a lot of ladies expecting babies around here, and thank God for it. Let me tell you something, Mama. Don't you keep that baby out of the house of God. You get that baby in as young as possible. You get that baby in the house of God so that baby gets a routine about the house of God. And don't use your baby as an excuse not to come to church. Oh, no, 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 Mama. No, Daddy. Get that baby in church where God can bless them. And some of you, you struggle being faithful to church because you've had a hard time establishing a routine. Why? You weren't taught a routine in your youth. Oh, but if children just understand Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we don't debate on it. We don't decide if we're going to do it. It's already pre-decided. I will go to church because I'm supposed to be there. Oh, I love church. I love church and the Jews. They loved the house of God. It was a friendly place. And they admired the birds. And it was a long before place in the life of the Jew. Not only that, the Jew would rather spend one day in God's house than 1,000 days anywhere else. Psalm 84:10, it says, for a day in the court in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, when the Jew went to the house of God, he was so happy that he was there. He was happy to get a little bit of time there. It was such a happy time that he said, I would rather spend one day in the house of the Lord than 3 years anywhere else. He said 1,000 days. Now 1,000 days is pretty close to 3 years. He said, I would rather have one good day down at church than 3 whole years anywhere else. Oh my, they really had a respect for the things of God. They really enjoyed the house of God. In fact, in verse number 10, the last part of the verse, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What he's saying here is that he would rather have a simple job in the house of God than to be a big shot anywhere else. Hey, listen, let's do our job and do them well. Hey, it doesn't matter what job you have around the church, it's a big job. Hey, there are some, though, that they don't understand that. They don't understand someone that would say, boy, I'd rather have a simple little job in the house of God than be a big shot in the tents of the wicked. But we all ought to grow to the point where we realize it is an honor and a privilege to serve God. Are you too big to happily serve God at what we might call a little job? If you can't be at the top of the totem pole, you don't want to be on the totem pole. You know something? Little jobs around here are the qualifiers for the big jobs later. You don't qualify for big jobs by arrogance and pride. You're too good. Oh no. Oh no. Not at all. And so you know there are no little jobs around the house of God. But the Jews said, we would rather be one day with God than 3 years anywhere else. Not only that, to the Jews, attending the house of God was not just something for children, but it was for adults also. It wasn't just for children. It was for adults also. Psalm 27:4 it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." The psalmist is saying, there's one thing. When he says there's one thing, what he means is there's one big thing that I desire. And that is, I have a consuming desire, that my great desire is that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, it is so cute in America that those that want to play, they want to play religion, or they want to dabble with church, they say, "Well, I send the children off to church. And mom and dad, we stay home and watch TV and do other things." It is not cute to send the kids off to church and send the kids off to the things of God. Oh, not at all. Here the psalmist said, "I desire that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Not only did the Jew want to live in the house of God all the days, but he wanted all the years, his entire life. Sunday school and church, and Sunday school and church faithfulness is not just for the children. We're all God's children. Age has nothing to do with it. One never outgrows his need for the church. You say, "I've been in church for 60 years. I'm glad." He is the everlasting one. He always has been and he always will be. And your 60 years is spit in a bucket compared to what you need to learn from him. And if you think that because you've been in the church for 60 years that you've assumed all the knowledge necessary, you're lying to yourself and you're arrogant and you're not as smart as what you think. Your age has nothing to do with the importance of faithfulness to God. Hey, how do you justify not coming back to church on Sunday night? How do you justify it? I have people tell me they can't come to church on Sunday night, but they go to Walmart. Hey, how do you justify not coming to church on Wednesday night? Maybe this is your justification. You don't need to learn more. Did you sit down and logic through it and say, "I don't need to come back to church on Sunday night because I don't need to learn any more about God"? Or maybe you already know it all. Have you sat down and logically thought through it and said, I don't need to come back because I already know it all"? Wait. You and God have a conversation right now. And He'll search your heart and mind, okay? God search everybody's heart and mind right now. Figure out their excuse for not coming back to church at night. Give Him your excuse in the privacy of your heart. I'll wait on you. Are some telling you they know the Bible so well they don't need to come back? What do you think about that, God? Are some telling you they're already so holy they need no more purification? What do you think about that, God? Oh, they're telling you they're too busy. There are more important things to do. Are you pleased with that? You figure it out. You think through it. Go ahead and talk to Him about it. You shouldn't go hunting instead of come to church or fishing. Now, we have 6 other days a week. Kill everything you want. Well, not everything. How amiable are thy tabernacles? How amiable is the house of God? It was a friendly place. It was a place for which they longed. It was a place where they admired the birds and the baby birds for being reared there. It was a place where the Jews said, "I'd rather spend one day in God's house than 1,000 days anywhere else." It was a place where the Jews said, "It's not just for the little tykes and the cute little Sunday school children. It is for all of God's children, red and yellow, black and white, young and old alike." Not only that, the Jew panted to see the house of God. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Oh, the period that existed in between their visit to the house of God. The Jews said, "We became hungry and thirsty for the house of God." And he compared it to being just totally out of water. Picture a deer running from the hunter, feeling
and fleeing all day long in fear and panting. That deer is scared because he knows the hunter is coming after him. And that deer is panting and he's out of water. His tongue is hanging out of his mouth. The Jew said, that's how I feel away from the house of God. I feel parched. I feel dry. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to go take a deep, cold drink of the things of God. He missed the house of God so much that he compared it to a thirsty deer running through the woods. I like it when I watch our people come back from vacationing across the country. I'm glad for you to take a vacation, and I think you should take a vacation, and I recommend that you take a vacation. I recommend that you take a part of your vacation and go do something with your family. I think you ought to take another part of your vacation and go visit your mother-in-law, and then leave later on that day. But our people come back from traveling all across America, and they come to our office, and we tell them of churches of like faith that believe the same way we do, and you go visit those churches, and I'm always tickled. I'm always so pleased, because virtually the first thing you say to me when you see me, when you get back, say, preacher, it is good to be home. There's no place like this place. There are churches out there, and thank God for them, but we got something special going on around here, and I didn't even realize how special this place was until I went to the other places, and I seen how it was dead. And how it was dry, and how I felt. I was made sure that I knew I was a visitor, and I'm just so glad to be home and thank God for it. Do you come to church thirsty? Come to church thirsty. Gulp down the things of God. Gobble it up like food. Gobble down the food and drink deep of the Word of life. If you need to, you can belch after you drink. The Jews panted to see the house of God. Then the Jew, he prepared himself for the house of God. The Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. What's it talking about here? When they went to visit the house of God, when they went into the courts of the place of God, the Bible says they did it with thanksgiving. We're talking about they were entering, not after they arrived there. On their way there, they prepared themselves so that God would do something great during the church service. They entered his gates with thanksgiving. And the Bible says, and into his courts with praise. Before the Jew entered the house of God, he worked on his own mind and stopped to realize how long he had waited to do so much. And he wanted to be there. And he was happy that he was going there and he was preparing himself. You see, before the Jew arrived at church, he got himself ready for church. He came into church thanking God that he got to be there. He thanked God. He thanked God that he got to be there. He also entered the place of God with praise. This was done before he got there. No doubt he thought of the days at home when his soul hungered and he was thirsty for God. Now he had a chance to be there. No doubt he remembered panting like a deer that had been running from a hunter. He said, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. So when the Jew was out here on Highway 11 and he was driving toward the church, he got this exhilaration about him. He said, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm turning on the turn signal. Hey, we're going to be at church. It's going to be great. I'm ready to go and be encouraged. I'm ready to go and do something for God. Here we go. Instead of fighting and fussing all the way to church with your husband, or your wife, with your kids. You see, he was preparing himself for God. He prepared himself to enter. How tragic it is that we nonchalantly enter the house of God. We do it by habit. We ought to stop and realize, praise the Lord, I'm on my way to church again. Thank God I have a church that I can go to where somebody may get saved today. You know how many people would not give any consideration to somebody being saved at their church this morning? None. I can guarantee you, there are churches everywhere that don't even have a baptistry filled because they never baptize anybody. They don't even fill it. Because they know God's not going to move. They know nobody's going to get saved.
They don't come early and stay late. They rush in at the very last moment, park her down, say, move me. And the preacher tries to take a piece of TNT dynamite and move their backslidden soul toward God. And the minute the service is over with, if they could run out before the invitation started, they would have. Because they got to get to the restaurant and feed their fat body. But they're not interested in any spiritual food. Let me tell you something. You better thank God. They early in the morning around here, they start a hopping and a happening around here. And that's the way it ought to be. This is God's house. This is God's church. Hey, this isn't an institution of society. This is God's house. You know, you might get more out of church if you prepare yourself and your attitude before you get here. You're apt to damage what God is trying to create with the attitude you walk in here with. You ever met one of those that you better not ask them how they're doing? Then there's some you don't have to ask. You just look. Huh? Is your mother-in-law with you this week? How do you know? I can tell by the look on your face. The happiest days of the Jew's life was the day when he came to the house of God. Psalm 122, verse 1 and 2, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gate, O Jerusalem. Hey, let's sing the song. Open your Bible up to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Brother Nash, come again. Let's make sure we turn this microphone on. Let's sing the song, Psalm 122, verse 1 and 2. Let's hear it again. Brother Nash.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gate, O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gate. Our feet shall stand pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper and love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper and love thee. Our feet shall stand within thy gate. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gate. Our feet shall stand within thy gate. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gate. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will see thy glory. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will see thy glory. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, our feet shall stand within thy gates.
When the Jew was heading toward the house of God, they were excited. They were thrilled. They had prepared their hearts. It was the happiest day. It was a happy day to them. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. Hey, folks, you know something? Sometimes it makes me want to just take my shoes off when I'm here at church. You say, why? Because I'm standing on holy ground. This place is different than all the other places. It's different than being out there in the world. And it ought to be different. And we ought to act different and dress different and behave different. We ought to do right with it. When they came to the Jews and said, all right, let's head for church. It was an exciting time. I teach you this and I say it often. Hey, they had a we get to go to church attitude. They didn't have a, well, we got to go to church attitude. It's a get to go. You get to go to church. You get to be saved. You get to be around God. You get to be around God's people. You get to be at a church where people are saved, and you get to be a part of it. Not gotta go. That gotta go attitude will cause everybody to feel badly about the things of God. It's a privilege. Hey,
When you don't look forward to coming to church, you're the problem. It's not the church. It's not the Lord. It's not His book. I'll promise you, when you don't look forward to coming to church, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault.
Right.
It may be He that is convicting you, but I'll promise you something. You wouldn't believe all the excuses that people give me. I mean, I hear them all. You listen to me, and thank God, I talked to a man this week. He said, Brother Owens, I'll be very honest with you. Bottom line is, the problem's in my heart. I said, buddy, I appreciate your maturity. At least you're smart enough to know the truth. I hear all the other excuses. Hey, listen, I get excited about church. I love church. I love it. I love being there. Hey, the Jew, he realized that what the house of God did for him. Psalm 122, verse number 9, the Bible says, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. See, the Jew knew that when he went to church, it caused him to want to help others. You know, the reason why many of you help others is because you've been to church where you've been prompted to help others. The reason you want to do good many times is because you've been to God's house where good is exalted. The Jew realized it was at God's house where he received strength and the spiritual food and nourishment that he needed to do good. Maybe we need to pause and be thankful for a house of God where we are strengthened and we are taught to do good unto others. I believe this. I believe that this city is a better place because of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I believe this. I believe the place where you work ought to be more spiritual because of you, not less. People shouldn't be going around because they work with you thinking our church is full of hypocrites. People ought to be able to look at this, look at you at work and say, you know what? That guy right there is different. And let's say there are a few hypocrites in our church, which there are. Why don't you live in such a way that you live down the criticisms that other people bring upon us so they'll look at you and say, you know what? I know two of them from down there and one's a hypocrite, but this guy's real and I happen to believe there's some real Christians down there. You live down the criticisms of the hypocrisy that would exist in any church. Don't be sucked in by it. You'll become a part of it. Hey, they enjoyed the house of God. Only eternity will reveal what the house of God has meant to communities, to counties, to states, and to countries. If you're able to have the strength to resist temptation, it'll come from being at the church and learning from God's Word and hearing the preaching of God's Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. This church makes this community a better place. Why? Our soul winning efforts keeping people out of hell. Why? The pure lives of people that raise the standard of living. I'll tell you something. I will guarantee it. There are churches that don't believe like we believe and they would not spit on us if we were on fire around here. But we are going to increase the way the people at those churches live because they know there's something real around here. And they're going to have to stop playing church and get serious or everybody's going to leave them and come join us. Because this world is full and they've got their belly full of false religion and their belly full of people that say one thing on Sunday and go out and live another way the rest of the week. They're looking for something real. They're looking for somebody that lives right on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And every liberal mess of a church around here, they're going to have to suck it up and start living right because now there's something real. There's something real. And that's what people need and that's what God expects. And you ought to be a contributor to it. People ought to say, I want to go down there. The people down there, they're not perfect, but they're real. They're real. When they get away from God, I notice they go back and get right with Him. They must mean it. They don't run and hide. They mean it. You know what? The Bible says that the Jews even envied the priests. Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Not only did the Jews, as they were leaving the house of God, look up and see the birds in the rafters, they seen the man of God waving. And they thought, he has an office there. He gets to be there all the time. Wow. Wow. What a life. And you're right. What a life. I just can't believe it. I'm here, not as much as I'm at home. You sleep more here than you do at home.
I get to serve God. I don't envy the President of the United States. I don't envy a congressman. I envy me. I'm in the will of God. I enjoy it. To young people that give consideration to someday going into full-time service for God. Let me tell you something. It's great. It's great. Don't you believe all the liars out there?
It's so bad. It's so bad serving God.
Again, get out of the ministry, you stinking twerp, and get out of the road. There are some people that understand it is a glorious thing to serve God. Man, I get so sick and tired of whiny baby preachers and whiny baby people in Christian service.
I can't take anymore.
Who's your God? Is your God like my God? My God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm honored to do what I do. I had 4 cups of coffee before I preached this morning. Can you tell? I'm just going to get her all off my chest at one time. What a privilege. The house of God. Those of you who were here in the last couple of days helping around the house of God, you're doing angel's work. I've seen some of our ladies out here dusting and cleaning in the hallway. And I thought, I hope they're realizing what they're doing. As if they were at the Old Testament tabernacle. They were allowed to work down at the church house. We've made church so common. We make church as if it's not a big thing anymore. We want to dress the same way here as we do when we're out in our backyard. Wait a minute. This is the house of God. I think you ought to dress right all the time. But there's a certain propriety that goes along with church. Oh my. I was 16. He said to me, let me show you my church. We walk in the back door of that place. It was dead. Cold. And I don't mean temperature-wise. I mean it was cold. You could tell. It's dark. And I thought, and then out came the father with the witch's robe on. And I took him out to the old beat-up parking lot with the old beat-up steel chairs, with the old beat-up upright piano, with the old beat-up Black King James Bible, where an old beat-up preacher got up and he said, thus saith the Lord, and the power of God came down in a miraculous way, and sinners got right with God, and marriages were restored, and boys and girls got saved, and the baptistry was troubled. And I said, buddy, you can have whatever you call that as a church. I've got me one. It's not the magnificence of the building. It's the magnificence of the work of God that goes on there. And I just love church. I love it. If you're here today and you're not born again, we welcome you to the Savior, the one who runs this church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.